There was only one thing that caused this girl to change from being a healthy, happy teenage girl to one that was miserable and suicidal. Just one thing. What was it? What was the one thing that changed her world? Give me more specific. Words. Just words. That's all it was, guys. Just words. Ugly. Fat. I mean, whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, was either lying through their teeth, or they were maybe delusional or something. Because that's simply not reality, and neither is it biblical. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords." And another proverb, look at this one. "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." It's not biblical to say that words will never hurt me. Words have power. They have impact. They influence people's lives. You've got to think about what you say to somebody before it exits your mouth, because it's not neutral. Look at this. This passage from James, I mean, it seals it. I mean, it's like, wow, what is God trying to say? Listen to this. "The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." And he's not finished. He goes on, he says, "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures have been tamed and are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." He's like, where do you get that? Yeah, it's in the Bible. I mean, seriously, you read that and you're thinking, James must be having a really bad day. Or something. But then you got to remind yourself, wait a minute, the ultimate author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit himself. God is trying to tell us something here. Using hyperbole, maybe, maybe not. God is really trying to get through to our thick skulls about the impact our words have on people's lives. I think what God's trying to reveal to us is that this topic of our speech, it goes a lot deeper than words. A lot deeper. And I want to ask you guys to just pray with me here. Because we're going to cover a lot of stuff in a little bit amount of time. And it's significant and it's serious. So let's do that. Lord Jesus, we come before you humbled by your awesome presence. Who are we that you would actually even be in our midst? God, your kindness and your grace and your mercy is overwhelming. And we want to ask you, God, to pour it on right now. Lead us into your truth. Help us to understand your heartbeat. We don't want to leave here the same as we were when we came. We want to meet you. We want to hear your voice. And I pray, God, that you'd speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, just an FYI, we've got note sheets out there. Feel free to grab those. You can fill in the blanks. It helps you track along. They're for you, not for me to take home and throw away. So feel free to snag one and one for a friend if you want. And also, if you're a visitor, we have visitor cards. Feel free to fill one of those out, and we'll get you some cookies. That's right. That's right. We deliver cookies to people that visit Lifehouse Church. It just gets better and better. But, okay, so if you're ready, then I think I'm ready. As Bob had shared with us a couple of weeks ago, the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament reveals to us that there are two paths of life that we can take. There's two different paths of life. There's the path of wisdom, which leads to life, and then there's the path of foolishness that leads to suffering. I wanted to do the Yoda voice, but I can't pull it off. But it does lead to suffering and death, really. I mean, the path of foolishness is a tempting one. It looks like it's fun, but in the end, it results in the loss of life. Two different paths that you can take. And so this morning, we're going to talk about avoiding two aspects of our speech on the path of foolishness and how to practice two aspects of our speech on the path of wisdom. Okay? That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to call this the two things that we need to avoid. I'm going to call it speech 101 and speech 201. And then what we need to start doing is the speech 301 and speech 401. So you're gonna graduate with a 401 level talk on speech here. Okay, so we're gonna start. We're the path, avoiding the path of foolishness. With our speech here, we're talking about our words, and they carry the power of life and death. And there's two things that we need to avoid big time on the path of foolishness. The first one ought not to surprise you, but I don't think I've ever really heard a message on it, like in church, and that's stop swearing and using unwholesome talk. I mean, how often have you heard that in church? I mean, you kind of know that, but how many times have you actually been, you know, that's actually been said? But that's speech 101, and this might be the class you need to major on. You guys know your life and your struggles. This may be it. I thought with this topic, I thought, okay, I'm going to need to weight my comments here in speech 101 with like the Old Testament, like Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, you know, where it says, God says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Pretty clear, pretty significant. Or I also thought maybe in the New Testament, I was aware of Ephesians 4:29. In the New Testament, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. So I figured that's what I'm going to need to major on here, and I'll just get to Proverbs later. But wow, once I started looking at what Proverbs has to say about swearing, I realized I hardly even need to mention these verses. Take a look at just a sampling of verses in the book of Proverbs about our speech in this area. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. Okay, next verse. A troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, he always stirs up conflict. Another one. One whose heart is corrupt does not prosper. One whose tongue is perverse falls into trouble. Another one. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. That's just a sampling. I mean, it could get really long if I were to bring out every verse that warns us about a perverse mouth. It says, I mean, it's going to be trouble. Only the wicked do it. You'll be corrupted by it. I mean, it goes on and on. And then if you go to James, and the interesting thing about the book of James is it's considered by scholars to be the Proverbs of the New Testament. The wisdom contained in the book of James is very similar in nature to Proverbs. So it's called the Proverbs of the New Testament. James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. It's like, okay, it's pretty clear. But, okay, so, I mean, we've grown up in a culture, most of us, and we've certainly seen a good sampling of verses that should be enough to help us know, okay, swearing bad. Okay? It just let's just God does not approve. It's not. But why? I mean, what's the big deal about swearing? Why is God so, like, I don't know, threatened about that? What does that upset him so much? And why is it so destructive to our lives? I mean, I'm sure you're like me. I've been around a lot of people who, like, swear like a sailor, and I would never attribute that to the difficulties they've had in their lives, or should I? Why is it such a big deal to God? Well, Jesus tells us why. Just like nowadays, people in Jesus' day were more concerned about what they put into their mouths than about what came out of their mouths. And Jesus said to them on one occasion, he says this, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person." And just a few chapters earlier in Matthew 12, I believe it was, he says, "The mouth speaks that which fills the heart." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Okay, so go back to our original question. What's so bad about swearing? Everybody does it. Because it reveals what your life is full of. That's why. It reveals what your life is full of. And so you got to ask a tough question. What's filling my heart? What is my life full of? Well, take a record of what kind of speech you use, and that will be your gauge. Now, if you claim to be a Christian, and Jesus is actually in your life, he's come into your life because you're trusting in him for salvation, then Jesus is in your heart. Okay? If you're trusting in Christ, Christ is in your life. So, let's connect the dots. If you use the four-letter S word, then Jesus is having to live with that. Because that's what your life is full of. And Christ is in your life, and you're throwing that word out like it means nothing, and you're forcing Jesus to live with that. How about the four-letter F word? You're telling that to Jesus. If Jesus is in your life and you're throwing out the F word because that's what your life is full of, well, then you're making Jesus live with that. That was enough for me. I mean, the guy that died on the cross for me and I'm making him live like that? Forget about it. Swearing's got to go because I certainly don't want Jesus to go. I remember when I was a kid, when I went to church, I grew up Catholic, and I remember the priest giving a message on swearing. I remember that because he said, you know, the reason people swear is because they have nothing better to say. And I thought, oh, well, that's a pretty good thought, and I remembered it. But now I realize that the reason people swear is because that's all they have to say, because that's what their life is full of. And that's what just pops out. It's worse than I thought. Look at Proverbs 11:20. I think it's 11:20. Yep. "The Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless." I tell you, what comes out of your mouth is a big deal to God because it reflects what your life is full of, and God is concerned about your life. Your life matters to God. And that's why swearing bothers God. And that may be the class you need to focus on and take to God and say, "God, redeem me here. Help me in this area." But we've got to go on to the next class because I got a lot of stuff to cover. Sorry. Okay. There's another thing that's a big deal to God, and that's gossip and slander. This is speech 201, avoiding gossip and slander. Now, both of these words, gossip and slander, they're kind of defined very similarly to each other in the Bible. And so different Bible translations will alternate the use of that word sometimes in various passages. Okay? But this is how gossip can be narrowly defined. Gossip. Okay? It can be narrowly defined as idle talk or rumors about the personal or private affairs of others. Okay? But the Bible adds a deeper moral dimension to gossip in that while the report that you might be sharing with somebody about somebody else, while it may be true, it causes harm to everyone that hears it. It causes harm. It causes us to think less of or to be critical of the person being talked about. That's what it does. Look at Proverbs 20:19. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. I thought, well, what about the women? Avoid somebody who talks too much, okay? And especially if their favorite topic of conversation is other people. You just might need to keep your distance. Now, slander is very similar in that it also reveals private information about someone else. But in this case, with slander, it's false, and it damages the person's reputation that you're talking about, okay? Now, lying and slander are oftentimes treated as synonyms in the Bible. In Proverbs 10:18, it says, "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." It's kind of treated as a synonym there in that proverb. And then, I'll hold with that one. The book of Proverbs specifically warns us of the dangers of gossip and slander at least 15 times in the book of Proverbs. I think that it's like, if you weren't convinced the first time, try, how about there? How about here? 15 times in the book of Proverbs alone, we are warned about the dangers of gossip and slander. And I think the reason that God hates it so much is because it's so destructive to people's lives. I mean, if you've been around the block a few times, you already know this. When people have gossiped about you and how much that's hurt you, you don't need a lesson on this one. But it is. It's destructive to people's lives. Gossip and slander will rip friendships and churches apart. Gossip and slander plays right into the devil's hand. I mean, this is his territory. This is his tactic, is to use gossip and slander to rip people apart. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends." And take a look at this next verse in Revelation. Revelation 2:9. "I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." It's actually Jesus saying that. So those who are slandering belong to the family of Satan, he is saying. Wow. Now I realize that it is so easy to slip into gossip and slander. I mean, for me personally, that is far more dangerous territory than swearing. It's causing just, you know, you're in conversation and oh, there it comes, and it's like, oh. And once it's out, there's no getting it back in. And so how do you deal with that? One thing I try to do, and I was just reminded of it, you know, as I was working on this message, I got to keep doing this. An easy way, if you will, to check yourself before you talk about somebody else to somebody else. An easy way to do that is to ask yourself, are they a part of the problem or the solution? You know, if I'm talking to Jeff about Josh, and I ask myself, now, is Jeff a part of the problem or the solution with whatever I'm talking about regarding Josh? If the answer is no, then shut up and stop talking about him. If they're not a part of the problem or the solution, they shouldn't be a part of the conversation. It's like, you know, that is personal, private information on that other person. You shouldn't be talking about it. If you do, it will cause harm. It will destroy in some way Jeff's confidence or respect for Josh, or all of a sudden there's going to be tension between the two, or who knows how far that stone could roll. Now that's speech 201. Okay, so we're going to move now from the path of foolishness, two things to avoid: swearing, unwholesome talk, gossip, and slander. Yeah, let's not go down that road. We want to go down the path of wisdom. Two things that we should be saying. Okay, so what's left to say? There's a lot to say. And speech 301 is to take part in building encouraging speech. It's like, duh. Okay, so you want to take part in building encouraging speech. You got to remember, the tongue has the power of life as well as death. So it has the power of life. Okay? It's a far greater power. So the 301 person has trained their tongue to speak words that bring life to other people. Joy and peace and happiness. I mean, they like being around you because you make them feel good. That's the 301 person. Look at Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. Remember that verse? There's a second part. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. And there's another verse that you remember, the first part. First part is, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. You heard that. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Okay, that's the 301 person. They want to focus on, they want to major on saying things that build people up, that encourage them. And I'm telling you, the Bible is full of instructions on speaking, encouraging, and building talk. I mean, it's full of how to bring joy to other people's lives and not suck the life right out of them. Well, what do I mean specifically? Let me give you some specifics. Okay. First of all, I thought before I get into the specifics of what I mean by building encouraging speech, I figured I better put in this disclaimer for some people. I realize that there are some people who suffer from what is known as the foot-in-the-mouth disease. Okay? Yep, foot-in-the-mouth disease. I figured those who laughed probably suffer from that the most. Sorry. Foot-in-the-mouth disease. I realize that that's out there. And so what should that person do? They should simply stop talking so much. And there's lots of verses about that. Look at this one. We got a proverb here. There you go. When words are many, sin is unavoidable. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Okay, so the path of wisdom for you is just, just stop talking so much. Okay? So I figured I better throw that in there for those of you who need that one. Okay. I've got three things under building and encouraging speech. What does that look like? First of all, it's using verbal compliments or words of appreciation. Okay? Let's look at a proverb. Proverb 27:2, I believe it is. There you go. Let someone else praise you, and not your own mouth, an outsider, and not your own lips. Now, as much as this verse is cautioning a person about talking about how great they are, and how much we enjoy being around a person like that, right? As much as it does caution you not to be patting yourself on the back, it's also instructing us to praise other people. You know? Maybe beat them to the punch before they pat themselves on the back. You just praise them in advance. Sometimes that backfires because then they'll just like, yeah, I know. It's like, wow, wasted that one. But anyway, praise a person anyway, all right? I remember I became a Christian at Iowa State University. I remember the first time I got what is called an encouragement note. And I got it, and you know, it was anonymous. But you know what you do when you get an anonymous note? You try to find out who wrote it. And so eventually I found out that a girl wrote it. That's right. You know, I was fresh out of high school. I know what that meant. And so I told my friend, look at this. You must like me. And he just laughed. He busted out laughing. I thought, what? You know, and he's like, it's an encouragement note. She's not trying to, like, you know, come on to you. She wants to encourage you, help you to think about Jesus a little bit in the Bible. That's what that's about. It's like, whoa, I had never heard of an encouragement note before. So, and then since then, I've gotten many encouragement notes. It was really nice. Okay, so that's one. Praise people, compliment people. The next one. Use kind and encouraging words. Kind words. Let's focus on that word. Kind words. Okay? You have two options. You can either use kind words or you can use hurtful words. You want to use the kind words. A way to help get you in the frame of mind where you speak kind things to people rather than hurtful things is that you see the world through the other person's perspective. You try to put yourself in their shoes. It doesn't take a lot of work. You can just imagine what it would be like to be in that person's situation. And if you do that, if you're able to connect with what that person is going through, then you will say the kinds of things that you would want said to you if you were in that situation. What would you want said to you? Even if what you would want said to you is nothing, then say nothing. Just be there for the person. It's like no words required. Just if you're able to put yourself in their spot, what would I wish somebody would say to me? Say that. More often than not, it will be kind and encouraging. If not, then go back to the disclaimer. Just, you know, just don't say anything at all. You can always, fall back to that. Here's a good verse. Proverbs 12. We got 12:15, right? Yeah, 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. It's a pretty good one, I thought. So the secret to doing that is to be others-oriented. And here's the last one. Use humble words. Use humble words. To help clarify this one, I got Proverbs 15:1, I believe. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So here, you just got to realize, okay, I'm in a tense situation. I just need to turn the volume down a little bit. I need to check the tone at the door, you know? And you maybe use appropriate eye contact, not just, you know, staring at them with the bug eyes, you know, because your nonverbals are saying a lot more than your verbals most of the time. And so you just need to check those things at the door so that your response is gentle. We had this happen at the game store on occasion where somebody got what they felt was a bad deal. They bought a game or a system that doesn't work right or whatever, and they just felt that they're just convinced that we're not going to honor the transaction or something, and they come in ready for war. And if you respond gently and you talk to them with respect, then all of a sudden they decompress and it changes the conversation altogether. And we're able to work it out. It happens quite a bit. Now, there's one last thing I'd like to mention here in the speech 301, and that's Proverbs 18:13. It says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." How many of you guys have been there? It's like, my goodness, I wish I knew that proverb right out of the womb. It's like, you know, kid, this is what you need to know. This is a pretty powerful truth, and in fact, it is the topic of our Speech 401 class. Speech 401 is this: how to listen for heaven's sake. How to listen. If you can learn how to listen, believe me, your speech will be 100% improved. It will be far more biblical. It will fall in line with the rest of the stuff that we, or all the stuff that we covered in 301. Look at James 1:9. Remember James, the Proverbs of the New Testament? Here it is. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Wouldn't that just be a, you know, great bumper sticker? Especially, you know, if you're going slow and they want to go fast, you know, have that one. Slow down. Yeah, a wise man once said, God gave us two ears and one mouth, and we should use them in that proportion. And I thought, oh, that's pretty good. And that's, he's just mimicking what is said in James 1:9. So much pain and regret could be avoided if we knew how to listen. Because if you listen first, you won't have to apologize later. We all know how fun that is. So if you listen first, you won't have to apologize later. So how do you do it? Well, you do what they do at McDonald's. That's what you do. That's how you do it. Now, I'm not talking about taking a chicken and grinding it up whole, you know, frying it in a vat of grease and calling it a nugget. Not talking about that. Just thought I'd share in case you guys are thinking. No, I'm not talking about that. That's 201 stuff, you know, that's, you know. Anyway, I'm talking about listening to people carefully enough to repeat back to them what they just said to you. Right? You're going through the drive-thru, and you give them your order. And what do? They don't just instantly tell you how much it is. No, they repeat back to you what you just said. Now, how many of you, when you're going through McDonald's and you just gave them your order and they repeat it back to you, it's like, dude, I was there for that. I mean, I know what I said. You know, you get upset. No, you don't get upset. You're thankful that they do that because now you know that they know exactly what you ordered and you're not going to get something different. At least you hope you don't get something different. You know, it is McDonald's. But that's McDonald's listening. That's, well, in professional circles, it's called reflective listening. Reflective listening. You're going to need to throw up the line. Reflective listening shows the talker, you know, the person talking to you, if you reflectively listen, it shows the talker that you want to understand what they're talking about. It communicates that you respect that person and you value what they're saying. That's what reflective listening does. The way you reflectively listen is you combine a tentative statement with whatever the topic is that the person is talking about, whatever the thought was, and whatever the feeling is. A tentative statement with their thought and however they feel about what they are talking about. Okay? That's what it is. So, a tentative statement is like this. It's like, it's words like, it sounds like. I mean, because you got to realize you could be mistaken. And so, you phrase it as a tentative. It sounds like, or so you're saying. It's a couple of tentatives. You could come up with others. And then the thought, it's whatever the person is talking about. And then the feeling, however the person feels about what they're talking about. Okay? So, you come to church on some morning, and there's this lady in a pink sweatshirt, and she's kind of following you around. And you're kind of thinking, what is this girl want? And all of a sudden, you hear her say, I'm trying to get a hug from this guy. Yeah? So you're like, well, I'm just looking for a hug here. Right there, Tina? I'm just looking for a hug here. And so a way to respond is like, hey, I'm too busy. I got a message to prep for. We've got stuff going on and people to see. You know, no, that's not kind words. Okay, I just thought I'd share that in case some of you guys are like, well, what does a not kind word look like? That would not be kind. No. If I were going to reflectively listening, I would say, it sounds like you are, It sounds like you need a hug. How would I put the thought in there? There's got to be a feeling in there. Sounds like you're really needing a hug today. Something like that. You guys get the idea. The more you practice it, the better you'll get at it. I kind of picked a bad one. Maybe I could pick a different one. Let's think. I was talking to Josh, make believe. I was talking to Josh, and he's really upset because the Jets are doomed to lose their game today. Okay? All right, on Monday. And he's not too happy about it. And so I say, well, wow, Josh, it sounds like you're pretty upset that the Jets have a terrible team. Perfect reflective listening. And then he could correct me or what? You know, and that's why it's a tentative statement, because then he can correct me if I'm wrong. He's like, well, I wouldn't say that. It's just that they're playing a superior team to mine. Who are they playing? The Atlanta Falcons. They're somewhat better, but not better than the Miami Dolphins. And so he corrects me. I go, oh, so you're saying you're feeling pretty sad that the Falcons are more than likely a better team than the Jets. He goes, well, yeah, that would be it. And that's all you got to do. It's not like you're waiting for some sort of, like, you know, light show or something. All you need to do to know that reflective listening has happened is they respond with, yeah, that's right. And I don't know why it is. It's human nature. We will feel good. The talker, the person, you'll just feel good. Wow, that person cared about what I was talking about. They respected me enough to make sure they understood what I just said. And I just feel loved on, man. You know, even though the Jets don't have that great of a team. That's reflective listening. And that's 401, guys. Whole seminars, weekends are dedicated to teaching people how to do what I just told you in like 10 minutes. Seriously. If you work at a big corporation or stuff, that's the kind of stuff that they bring in the big guns to teach people how to do. Okay? Well, speech 101, stop swearing and using unwholesome talk. Speech 201, stop gossiping and slandering other people. Speech 301, use kind and encouraging words. Or what was it? 301 was it kind and encouraging words? Yeah. And then speech 401, or building an encouraging speech. And then speech 401 is to listen, for heaven's sake. Okay, now that is a lot, and so I'm going to give you guys three action steps for this week, okay? This first one, if your battle zone is speech 101 or 201, the first action step is for you. You need to go home, and you need to make a swearing and slander jar. You put where you put a quarter or a dollar, depending on how often you how much you have available. But a quarter or a dollar for every time you swear or gossip, and then you're going to give that money back to God, whether it's church tithe or a missionary or somebody in need. But you got to make a swearing jar. I heard that offices will do this sometimes, and swearing or slander jar, and you're going to put money in there every time, you know, the mouth does this. When it should be doing this. Okay? That's what you have to do. Okay? All right. I'll give you my address later so you can send the money to me. Number two, write an encouragement note praising someone for something and pass it along to them. So keep it anonymous, and if you don't want them to figure out whether it's a guy or girl, you can cut out the letters from like magazines and paste it on there. You could, but that'd take a long time. But write an encouragement note to somebody and praise them. It does not have to be anonymous. But do praise somebody. And usually the Lord will put somebody on your heart. It's like, you know, I need to let that person know how much I'm thankful for them or how much I appreciate that they do this or something like that. Okay? And then number three, practice reflective listening with someone this week. Now, of course, anyone that's worked at McDonald's is already miles ahead of the rest of us. But you need to practice nonetheless. Now, it looks like some of you are a little anxious about fulfilling the assignment for this week. That was reflective listening. It looks like you're a little anxious about fulfilling this assignment, but fear not, guys, fear not. God will give you all the wisdom you need to pass this test. Look at James 1:5. We're going to end on James. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So don't freak out because you feel like a dismal failure. No, God's going to give you the wisdom that you need to make it happen. Isn't that pretty cool? I think that's pretty cool. So let's go ahead and ask him for that, and then we're going to have communion. Lord Jesus, I do want to ask you, probably, I don't know, one of the more convicting messages I've had to build. It's like, ugh. So many times if I'm feeling down, if I'm feeling anxious, if I'm feeling angry, it pops right out of my mouth and slaps somebody else in the face who doesn't deserve it. God, I ask you, help me. Help everyone in this room. We need help. We need your help. We need your wisdom to avoid those things that are on the path of foolishness. They'll only result in death. God, help us to do the things that are on the path of wisdom. That's where life is. That's where we're going to be able to fall asleep at night feeling good, that we obeyed God, that we blessed people's lives, that we made a positive impact in this world. God, that's what I want. I know that's what we all want. So I ask you, God, give us the wisdom we need for the specific level of speech that we're having to do battle in. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.